It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Hey there, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for listening and for telling a friend or two. Today we're speaking with Dr. Stephen Goswitz. He's an orthopedic surgeon on the staff at Hogue Hospital, and he specializes in the treatment of degenerative and traumatic conditions of the hip, knee, and shoulder. His focus is on adult reconstructive surgery, always a good thing. Welcome, Dr. Goswitz.
Thank you.
So you've consulted with the patient. It's been determined that she needs a total hip replacement. What should the patient expect in terms of the length of recovery and the amount of recovery? And I know this varies greatly with each individual, but could you give us just a rough idea of what perhaps a 70-year-old woman with otherwise good health might expect, just as an example?
Well, there's been a tremendous amount of improvement in this over the last few years. It used to be patients would be in the hospital for a couple of weeks and couldn't put their weight on it, and you know, went through many months of downtime before they ended up with a good hip. Now, the surgery's under an hour. The surgery's under an hour, and patients are in the hospital one or two nights.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking right away, and the experience is much, much, much less painful and a quicker recovery than it was before.
Fantastic to hear that. Charles in Long Beach wants to know if there's anything else he can have his mom do besides take calcium and vitamin D to shore up her bones so she doesn't become frail.
Well, she can definitely continue walking. That's very, very important.
Okay.
And if she actually has osteoporosis, then there's a number of medications available that can reverse the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good to know. Now, last year, my brother-in-law in Minnesota had to have a second hip replacement because the first hip they gave him started slipping downward. Finally, they had determined that the hip was too small, so they had to redo the procedure and give him a larger replacement hip joint. Is this common, or is it very difficult to size these artificial joints?
No, it's not common. Most patients will get one operation, and we're very I think we can very reasonably tell patients that we put in hip replacement now that the operation is very likely to last them 20 years. I mean, hopefully they're going to last longer.
Right.
Certainly they might not, but more often than not, they last the remainder of the patient's life for most people. And it's unusual that you have to do something again. Now, certainly there are exceptions to that. Occasionally the component, like in your brother's case, may have been undersized, and when that happens, it doesn't fixate to the bone and can slip down. But it's one of the complications, and unfortunately there's no surgery that is done that doesn't have a low risk of complications. But at Hogue and our facility, we really try and keep that to a minimum.
Right, and people have to bear in mind that medicine is not an exact science. It's always and ever evolving.
That is a fact.
Now, you're interested, doctor, in developing and using less invasive surgical approaches in alternative bearing surfaces. Maybe you could tell us what's meant by alternative bearing surfaces.
Well, when you have a hip or knee replacement, there's one part of it, and we'll talk about hips in particular. The very upper end of the femur, there's a ball, and in the pelvis, there's a socket. And when you walk around and you're moving your hip around, that upper end of the ball will roll around with respect to the socket. And in a natural human being, it's cartilage. There's cartilage rolls around on cartilage. But in a hip replacement, what has been used for many years is a metal ball with a polyethylene socket.
Okay.
And although that worked beautifully, there are some problems with it that some patients experience that would compromise the longevity of the result. And we've been going to some ceramic materials and metal on metal and special kind of polyethylene and sort of trying to find out the best combination there for the longest wear and the best function and the, you know, the hip that works the most like it used to work before they had any problem with it.
You got to love that as a patient, that you guys are always looking for the next best thing. We appreciate that. I heard a crazy, this seems to be the show for crazy questions, but I heard a crazy statistic the other day. It was that left-handers on average live 12 years less than right-handers. And the reason was because when left-handed people are walking down a staircase, for example, if they become unsteady, they automatically reach out with their left hand to steady themselves. And most handrails, of course, are on the right. So they fall, they break their hips, or worse. Now, have you heard anything to this effect? Do you treat a lot more left-handed people than you do right-handed people, or is this complete hogwash?
I'm not aware of it.
Okay.
It may be a fact that I'm just not aware of, but certainly we see a lot of hip fractures, and I'm going to start keeping track of whether they're right or left-handed.
Very good. I'm a lefty. How about you?
Right. I'm safe.
Okay. What can we look forward to in the future? Any imminent breakthroughs in the field of hip replacement surgeries?
Well, a lot of them are the improvements are sort of progressive because we already have a solution to the problem that works beautifully. So you don't want to change something dramatically because you don't really know until patients have been walking around on it for a number of years whether the change is a benefit
right.
or detriment to what we already have. So we try and make them progressively. So
okay.
I don't think there's anything radical that we're going to see that's going to be changing the whole experience for the patient. But we've seen a lot of very major progressive improvements in the procedure and how long it lasts and how quick people can recover from it. And how close to normal function they can achieve.
Great. Well, incremental change to the better is always welcome. Now, there's no way to get around if you need a hip replacement. You can't do something that's minimally invasive. But what are some of the procedures that you can do that are minimally invasive?
Well, I mean, this whole definition of what actually is minimally invasive. I think if you look at a hip or knee replacement, you're actually going in there and you're removing the upper end of their femur and you're reaming out their pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of the knee, you're cutting the end of the bone and you're gluing on this piece of metal. And I would contend that no matter how you do it, just in its very nature, that's not minimally invasive.
Exactly.
But you can do it less invasively. I think less invasive might be a more accurate term. But as far as totally minimally invasive, the things that we can do that make a big difference are like arthroscopic surgery, where we can go in there and clean out torn cartilage, and we
sure.
can take a torn labrum in the hip and fix it and things like that. Those are outpatient procedures done through tiny incisions
yeah.
with almost no recovery at all.
Same thing
for the
knee.
They don't solve the problem of an arthritic joint.
Right. Same thing for the knee and the shoulder, of course, right?
We have a tremendous amount of outpatient arthroscopic procedures that work well for a lot of problems.
Fantastic news. I've had a few myself, and I'm sure you probably have as well. And it's quite a difference than 20 years ago when you were looking at the prospect of a major surgery.
Oh, huge.
Huge.
For example, with our hip and knee replacements, our incisions are much shorter, the procedure is shorter, the anesthesia is better,
mm-hmm.
and recovery correspondingly is dramatically shorter.
And even the scars are shorter.
Much less. Much shorter.
Everything's shorter.
Yep.
Well, we are a little short on time, but we would like to ask you if there's a place where you would suggest people go if they want more information on these kinds of questions.
Well, we actually have a website at newportorthopedic.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, AAOS.org, is a good spot to look.
Okay.
Both those have a wealth of information about common orthopedic problems and what we do with them.
I absolutely love it. And we want to thank you so much for all your time and for all your good care and for how you're incrementally improving the lives of patients in your life every single day.
I've enjoyed it very much. Great questions.
A little bit off the grid, but you know.
That's good. I'm going to throw away my tie.
For sure. At least get a necktie.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Goswitz, for being on the show. It's been a total pleasure to have you.
My pleasure.
Are talking about important advances in the field of reconstructive surgery, and there are so many of them, as you just heard the doctor indicate. Remember, you can always listen to the podcast of this show at hoaghospital.org 24 hours a day. It's on demand in case you miss something or just want to hear it again. It's always available to you. You can download it anytime onto your iPhones, your iShuffles, and iPods, and give this valuable information to your friends so they can listen to it whenever they have time. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. It is a pleasure to be here with you, and please stay tuned. There is much, much more to come.